This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Our guest today is Rose Marshak, an artist whose Master of Fine Arts project is called Tickets to the Sunset. Rose, where did you get the idea for this kind of a project?
Okay. Well, I think it came from so many different places. I've had the opportunity to watch 10 years full of sunsets driving around the country. I was in a touring rock band for a long time. Well, I'm still in this band.
But, what's the band called?
Poster Children. And we'd have to be somewhere, usually like at 6 or 7 p.m., we'd have to be ready to sound check. So we'd be driving. I've been in every state in the U.S. I haven't played in every state. I haven't played in, I'm trying to remember what state it is. I think we've never played in Wyoming, but I've been through there many times. If you show me a piece of road, a picture of roadway from any state, I can tell you what state it's in.
So you've seen sunsets,
but
since you're a rock band, you probably have not seen sunrises.
No, touring, you'd get to see plenty of those too.
Both as well.
Maybe have to get, from Arizona to Texas, in one day. So you get to see the sunrise then too. But I think I would drive my bandmates nuts. Look outside. Look at it. The sun is setting now. It's beautiful, isn't it? And then 5 minutes later, I'd be like, look at it now. Look at the colors. It's gorgeous.
Now, I have in my hand an actual ticket that I was able to purchase for just $5, as I recall. Yes, that's the price on it. It says Rose Marshak Promotions, The Sunset, rain or shine, money back guarantee if sun does not set. 40 North, 88 West, various locations, Champaign, Illinois, Saturday, April 30th, 2005, 7:46. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Price $5. Now, you actually sold these tickets for people to see the sunset last night.
Well, I had complimentary tickets last night.
Okay.
Yeah. It's actually, so this is really going through Ticketmaster. It's a division of Ticketmaster. It's called TicketWeb.
Okay.
And I mean, it's completely legitimate. I got these guys to let me have an account on TicketWeb, and TicketWeb is the web only, phone only sales area of Ticketmaster, and they let me put up a bunch of events. Like I was a regular rock promoter or play promoter. They have plays on there too. Ostensibly the sun is going on tour counterclockwise around the United States, and the tour started in Champaign last night. And I made sure that the sun didn't have any very long drives, because I know the sun would have to get, within however many hours, probably 10 or 12 hours, the sun would have to be in the next place to rise. So I made sure that that the sun had plenty of days to travel to the next venue. So I think the next one maybe is Seattle, and then there's Portland. And this is just like a regular tour that Poster Children would do. We'd do Seattle, then Portland, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and go clockwise around the U.S.
Now, for some of our listeners who may not be familiar with contemporary artists and art projects and events like this, some people may be scratching their heads saying, how is this art?
I had a little girl named Molly that I got to talk to about this, and it was the most wonderful thing. I had a guy come up to me yesterday at the art opening and ask me, well, what's the sunset? You're selling tickets. What is the sunset? And I was like, the sunset, man. Haven't you seen the sunset? And he said, no. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry that you've never seen it. And a little while later, I made him understand it was the actual original sunset. But this little girl wants to be an artist when she grows up. And her mom said, I want you to explain to her what the sunset, what your project is. And so I had to figure out how to tell this girl. And it's about conceptual art at least. And I said, art is not only something that is on a piece of paper, drawn, on a canvas or something. It can also be something that creates a picture or an idea in your mind, or something like that. And I said some other words to her too. And then I think she understood after a while. She said, I get it. You're making a statement. So, and I'm, you know, you're making a statement about this. And there was this other artist that I saw at the Boneyard Arts Festival who was also making a statement about something else. And I understand now. And I said to her, are you going to, is your art going to be about statements now, from now on? And she said, no, I don't think so. So that's okay, though.
In the current issue of Poetry Magazine, May 2005, from Chicago, Mary Oliver has a poem, and I don't have permission to read it because I just found it in the last couple of days, and so I haven't been able to get permission. But I can quote the title, which I think is apt for this point you just made. Mary Oliver's poem is titled, "The Real Prayers Are Not the Words, But the Attention That Comes First."
Oh, it's beautiful.
The real prayers are not the words, but the attention that comes first. So are you trying by this project, partly at least, to call people's attention to something in nature that because it's so regular and that it's boring, that people don't pay any attention anymore to a sunset?
I don't even think that. Yes. That's exactly what I'm doing. And thank you for explaining it to me.
Well, words get in the way, of course.
Right. Yeah, that's wonderful. And it's not only that it's boring. I think people are too busy doing other things during it. And you know, one of the things I always yell about is people are so busy working all the time to make as much money as they can, you know, save up as much money as they can, and then they use it to take vacations to go see the sunset somewhere else. And I kind of want to say, oh, it's right outside. You can see it out right out there.
Well, now let's talk about the sunset last night in Champaign-Urbana. Now, what is 40 North, 88 West?
That's the location, the coordinates of Champaign. And it's interesting that you ask about that. I mean, it's also a group here, but I'm not affiliated with them.
40 North is the name for a group of artists in Champaign-Urbana.
Yeah. And they're doing wonderful things. Mm-hmm. But the reason that it says that, what I really wanted it to say on the ticket was outdoors. The sun is going to be setting, and to see it, you should go outdoors. That would be the place. But I couldn't do that. Ticketmaster wouldn't allow me to do that because every promoter that they have could also use the same venue name. And they said if they have some other promoter somewhere else who wants to do a show outdoors, they'd select my outdoor venue.
I see. Okay.
So I had to specify it. And actually,
with the longitude and latitude. Okay.
Right. And that wasn't even my idea. That was the author, Rick Powers' idea here in Champaign. Helped me out a little bit with that. So I have to give him credit.
Now, on this ticket, one of the tickets for the sunset, well, I should ask you, how many did you give away or sell?
I got a bunch of complimentary tickets that didn't cost me very much. So I gave some away yesterday to people who asked for them. I haven't sold a whole lot, I must say.
Okay.
But the tour is still going around. I mean, I'm trying to get a little bit of press for it, I think, see if I can sell more. I'm torn between wanting to sell tickets and not. I mean, I think just as the poem you quoted, I think it's more calling attention to this sort of idea than the actual people paying money. I mean, if I actually make money on this, I'm going to be in trouble. I'm going to give it away to charity, but I haven't even decided which one yet.
Okay.
So,
well, this might be an appropriate time to take a break for our local charity. The WILL radio and TV stations are this week requesting listeners to make pledges, to make donations, and any listeners who would like to support this radio station, AM 580, AM and FM, and WILL TV. You can call and make a pledge. The number is 217-244-9455. That's 217-244-WILL to make a pledge. And the station, of course, is desperate for financial support from people who appreciate the programs here. Keeping the Faith is one of the programs that's local, and it's the kind of program you don't hear everywhere else or anywhere else. And if you'd like to support these kinds of conversations about these kind of important issues of, in this case, spirituality, religion, ethics, values, do make a contribution to WILL. Let me repeat that phone number. It's 217-244-9455. If you'd like to write in and send a check, you can mail it to WILL, 300 North Goodwin, Goodwin, and that's in Urbana, Urbana, Illinois, 61801. So please consider making a contribution to WILL. Well, back to our guest, Rose Marshak, who is a Master's of Fine Arts program student at the University of Illinois. And we're talking today on Keeping the Faith about tickets to the sunset. And Rose actually has these tickets available for purchase, TicketWeb. And the date here in Champaign where she was focusing was last night. Now, you talked about having an opening, and I know that was at Krannert Art Museum. What was there?
Oh, that all the other MFA grads and I had put some of our best artwork, I guess, up, and that's still on. I think it's on for another week. People, I highly urge people who are listening to this show to go to Krannert Art Museum and see the amazing artwork there.
And do you have other pieces besides tickets to the sunset?
Yeah, I do. I have something called Wind Garden, which is another. A lot of my artwork is about nature being mediated by machinery, and like us not being able to really, or not even caring about nature anymore, just kind of letting the machines step in our way. My Wind Garden piece is this giant, sprawling something called a Immersa desk. It's a one-walled version of the cube or the cave. At NCSA, and you put goggles on, and you see this 3D image.
NCSA is National Center for Supercomputing Applications.
Right, okay. Right. And my immersive desk is from the Beckman Institute. What this does is it goes online and it gets the wind speed and direction of Champaign, the local wind speed and air direction, wind direction, and it sort of makes it shows it. It displays it in a what I'm calling a digital representation of a Zen garden.
And this is on exhibit at Krannert Art Museum with other works of art by other MFA folks.
Yeah, and there's a guy named Kermit in the museum bicycling. I don't know if you saw him last night, but he's in there. That's part of his artwork. A lot of his artwork is about cycling. Hmm. And so he's been, for the entire show, he's going to be in there cycling. I talked to him about it, and it's like he says it's like his office work now. Hmm. It's like he's punching a clock. Hmm. His cycling is punching a clock.
Now, you've mentioned that your art tends to focus on nature. Would you call it eco art, ecological art? Does it have a term?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I haven't finished my thesis yet, so okay. Maybe I don't have the term for it yet.
How far along are you?
I think I maybe have to start it again.
Why is that?
It keeps changing. I'm probably on take 10 of the thesis. You know, the first one was going to be about this. The second one was going to be about this, et cetera. But this one is going to be about nature being mediated by machinery. So I wouldn't just call it eco art because it's got to have machines in it too. So I don't know, techno eco art. It's interesting. I've come up with all kinds of different names for musical projects, but I've never thought about trying to define the art yet.
Let me invite listeners to call with comments or questions for our guest today, Rose Marshak. Here in the studio, you may call us toll-free at 1-800-222-9455. This is a live program every Sunday from 5 to 6 p.m. here on AM 580. And anywhere you're listening, including on the internet, you may reach us toll-free, 1-800-222-9455. In Champaign-Urbana, there are several local lines you may access by punching in 333-9455. So in Champaign-Urbana, 333-WILL. And again, for those who'd like to make a pledge or a contribution, you may call to make that pledge at 244-9455. So those are some numbers for you. And Rose, we have a caller who's waiting, and I want to get to that very quickly. But you mentioned this wind garden and the immersive desk. How big is that?
it takes up a 10 by 20 space.
20 feet.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of just sprawled out, and there's a bunch of computers next to it too. And it's, this whole thing is supposed to be the sculpture, you know. Okay. I guess it's kind of like a sculpture piece where you see this big honking hunk of machinery, and all it's there to do is just to tell you what's going on outside.
Okay.
And that's part of my little joke.
Sure. So there's humor in art.
In my art, there is.
All right, we'll get back to that. We have a couple of callers waiting now. Let's go to line one. You're on Keeping the Faith with our guest, Rose Marshak. Go ahead.
Hi. I just tuned in late, and I wanted to say two things. One was that we've already made our pledge, unfortunately. Maybe fortunately, we always do. But I saw the sunset last night. It was a beautiful sunset. And I love Mary Oliver's poem. I wonder, have you focused on Mary Oliver's poetry? And I haven't been to this exhibition, but you've whetted my interest, and I think I will. And my question is, how long will it be there, and where is it? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer. And thank you so much for your interest and also for the exhibition.
Oh, that's so nice.
How long will your piece be over at Granite Art Museum?
I think it's till May 8th or 9th.
Okay, so just for a week or so more.
Right, yeah.
Okay. And Granite Art Museum on the campus of University of Illinois, it's closed on Mondays, so tomorrow it'll be closed, but starting Tuesday it'll be open again through Saturday and I guess Sunday afternoons?
Probably, yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we have another caller waiting on line four to our toll-free line. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hello, Rose.
Hi, I think it's a caller from my other radio show. Is it the mayor?
Yes. Hello, Rose. How are you doing?
Hi, Mayor.
I purchased a ticket to your sunset a while back, and I missed the actual Champagne sunset last night because I was on 57 South for the better part of the sunset, and I get to enjoy the entire sunset unobstructed by trees or telephone poles or anything.
Yeah, I don't understand why you say you missed it, because it sounds to me like you saw the whole thing, and you had the intention of viewing it beforehand, and you paid attention to the entire thing for an hour, and I think that's way more than I could ask for.
Yeah, I felt like there were two events happening in my car. I had my music from my iPod, and then I had the sunset to my right as I was driving down. And it was really exciting because on the left side of my car, it was dark. Cause I guess that was east. And then on the right side was west. So it was kind of exciting to see the sunset happen in real time as I was going down rather than being in a static location.
But on your iPod, were you listening to Poster Children?
I did, actually.
Oh, see, now that I should have told that. That's, now my face is getting really red now. I have to ask you what songs you were listening to. Now my curiosity is piqued.
I was listening to the EP that you put out recently.
Okay, the new one. Oh, wow, that's very very activist of you.
Well, I was listening to The Clash, and then I decided to seg into your EP after that.
That's highly complimentary. But I'm trying to think. I had a question for you, Mayor, and now I can't think of what it is. Do you feel like you paid more attention to the sunset because you paid for it?
I paid more attention to the duration of the sunset.
Mm.
I think I appreciate the sunsets because in Providence, where I'm from, we have gorgeous sunsets. But this time I realized I left right before the sun began to set, and I felt bad because I was running late because I was going to miss the sunset in Champagne. So I was very conscious of it when it began to happen until it became dark out. So I was conscious of the duration, I guess.
Providence, which Providence?
Providence, Rhode Island.
Rhode Island, okay.
You actually, now I had three different banks of seating for the Champagne show, and there was Urbana locations, there was Champagne locations, and there was rural locations outside of Champagne, and it sounds to me like you sort of went into the balcony area there. Those tickets were $16, but I think Mayor, I'm not sure if you purchased one of those, but I'm not going to tell. I'm very happy that you made it into that seating. And of course, yeah, the Champagne tickets were $5 and the Urbana were $3 because Urbana is further east. Yeah, further away from the sunset, so not as good seating. But, go on.
Good friend of mine is is BJ's lives up in Cambridge, and so for a gift, I'm purchasing him one to the Boston Sunset.
Oh, that's good. I hope that's a good one.
And then there's a girl that I have a crush on in New York that I'm going to purchase one for the New York show for her.
Well, that should be all it should take. I mean, certainly she'll fall in love with you.
It's like promising her the moon.
Just the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much for the call. And for listeners who've joined late, we should say that Rose is not only an artist, but also a member of a rock band called Poster Children. And that's what occasioned my question to the caller. Who knows Rose, and so it's not surprising that he chose to listen to some of the music. Now, do you play an instrument or sing or both?
I play bass and I yell.
Yell.
So it's a punk rock band, so
okay.
we yell a lot.
Okay.
Emphatically.
Well, I'm much older than you, but I've heard Green Day. And I'm thinking, Well, let's get back to talking about the art. In terms of these tickets, now I hadn't realized when I bought my ticket, I purchased this in Champaign, but I also saw this out in a rural area. My wife and I are having a new house built out in the country, and so we went out there last night and sat and watched the sunset. And now we weren't listening to music; we're sports fans, so we were listening to the Cub game. Does that in any way affect our appreciation of the sunset?
I that's a question for you. Did it?
It was a spectacular sunset.
Were the Cubs
winning? Did you get out in the country, or were you in town?
No, I watched it from my house.
Okay.
But were the Cubs winning?
Boy, my wife could tell you, but I can't remember. Sorry.
Oh, that's good. I would think that. See, my dad is a huge sports fan, and I always worry that he would get depressed if his team loses. So I would think that you know, having to worry about whether or not a sports team is winning or losing might affect your enjoyment of the sunset. But I think the sunset should be enjoyed with all types of activities, I suppose.
Now, is this hearkening back to the Impressionists who cared about nature and thought it was all beautiful, but by choosing the sunset, I mean, why didn't you choose a ditch, you know, a ticket to look at a ditch alongside a road that might be filled with beer cans and who knows what else people throw out of their cars? I mean, why did you choose something beautiful?
That's a really good question. And it's funny because one of my art professors asked me, what about looking at a ditch, something like that, uh-huh. too. I don't think it would be worth money to look at a ditch, I think. I think and maybe people spend a lot of time probably looking at ditches a lot and maybe thinking sad thoughts about them.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, there's not a lot of people. I think there's not a lot of time that you do spend looking at something as beautiful as the sunset. This is a really good question. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should write it down, and then maybe the next project will be tickets to the ditch.
But what about the romantic part of it? I mean, people often, you know, are pictured in advertisements. Two lovers standing, holding hands, gazing at the sunset over a beach or something. I mean, isn't it kind of hackneyed? Isn't it kind of done? I mean, why?
Well, it's kind of, there's a cynical sort of part to this too, where I'm selling tickets on, you know, on Ticketmaster, this icky, terrible, you know, thing that also charges a surcharge for the tickets. So and to me, like, the complimentary tickets don't have a surcharge on them, and to me that's kind of like unsigned art. Whereas the people who are buying, like the mayor who just called, bought a ticket and paid the surcharge, and to me paying the surcharge is part of the art. I mean, it's here you have to pay this entity somewhere that you don't even know about in order to view the sunset.
Okay.
And there are other components to this piece too. There's a gorgeous poster that I had another grad from University of Illinois, art grad named Jay Ryan make. He made these gorgeous posters for me, and people can buy those on my, you know, tickets2thesunset.com. I think there's still a couple left. And then also,
how much are the posters?
They're $20.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're being sold in galleries too. This artist sells a lot of posters in galleries, and he's normally he makes rock posters, And sells them. So it's interesting to me that he made a poster for the sunset. And then I got a man named Steve Albini, who's this underground record producer, pretty famous guy. He did Nirvana records and Pixies records, and one of our poster children's records too. But he's very known for being very crass, and many people are scared of him. He's a wonderful person if you get to know him. But he actually went out and recorded the Chicago sunset for me on March 16th, audio recorded it. And, you know, maybe you wouldn't want to listen to a recording of the sunset, an audio recording of the sunset, but Steve Albini's recording of the sunset would be very interesting to people, for people to listen to. So
Where could listeners find that?
That's going to go up on iTunes and Napster and all the MP3 outlets. And I think the release date is probably around May 31st or something like that.
And that will be called?
I think that's called The Sunset.
Okay. All right.
I just had to name it. That was tough.
Okay. We're talking on Keeping the Faith this afternoon with Rose Marshak, who is getting her Master's of Fine Arts degree at the University of Illinois, about her art project that just opened last night, Tickets to the Sunset. If you have questions for our guest, please call us 333-9455 in Champaign-Urbana. Elsewhere, you may call us toll-free if it's a long-distance call, 1-800-222-9455. And we know we do have listeners at WILL.UIUC.edu who listen online, either live, or who check out archive programs. And this program will be archived there. If you missed the first part of it and like to go back and hear it, it'll probably be up in about a week, and you can go to that website, WILL.UIUC.edu, and check on AM 580 and then go to Keeping the Faith, and you'll see all of our recent programs there so that people can hear that again. Let me take just a few minutes, since we're about halfway through our program, to remind listeners that if you'd like to make a pledge to WILL, this is our spring pledge week, and if you like the kind of conversations you hear not only on Keeping the Faith, but on Afternoon Magazine and Focus 580 and all the other special programs that are come through NPR, National Public Radio. All things considered, the wealth is just endless, but it does take money from listeners. And if you'd like to make a contribution, you may mail a contribution here to WILL, 300 North Goodwin, Urbana, Illinois, 61801. Make a check to WILL. If you'd like to phone in with a pledge, we'd really like to hear how much you're planning to give. The number is 217-244-9455. So to make a pledge, 217-244-WILL. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these programs. Next week, I will be traveling to a conference for the YMCA. I'm the executive director of the University Y here on campus, and so I will be away. But we'll have a guest host on the program, Don Nolan, who will be interviewing Sarah Hyatt about the Christian Science Church. That's coming up on May 8th here on Keeping the Faith. Later in May, Monsignor Stuart Swetland will be talking about his experience with the new Pope Benedict for the Roman Catholic Church, and we'll also have an interview with Amy Sponsler, who is the new director for volunteer services for students here at the University of Illinois. Coming up later this week with the Whirlwind Project is a concert on May 6th featuring The Creation by Franz Joseph Haydn, and Contemporary Creations by Corigliano. This will be a concert by the Prairie Ensemble and the Bach Chorus. It's at 7 o'clock on Friday, May 6th at Wesley United Methodist Church, the corner of Green and Goodwin, 1203 West Green in Urbana. That's Wesley Methodist Church. Tickets are available at $10, $8, and $5 for students and seniors. Should be a wonderful concert, and this really is the conclusion for the Whirlwind Project's focus on chaos and creation and creativity that's been going on these last several months. The Whirlwind Project is an interfaith project sponsored by Muslims and Jews and Christians and Hindus and all sorts of people of different religious traditions. So this will be a wonderful end to that with the concert on May 6th. Well, let's get back to our guest today, Rose Marshak, and we have a caller waiting on line 4 with a question. You're on the air with our guest. Go right ahead.
Good evening. 4 questions, please. What is the spelling of Marshak?
It's M-A-R-S-H-A-C-K.
And what are the dates for the Seattle and San Francisco events?
Oh, boy. I should have written that down and had it here. The Seattle one I know is sold out. But the San Francisco one, it's going to be sometime in May, early May.
Can that information be found online?
Yes, yes. You can go online. You can go to www.ticketstothesunset.com, and then you can see the whole tour schedule.
www.ticketstothesunset.com.
That's correct.
And let me just ask a quick question. When you say it's sold out, does that mean if you don't have a ticket, you can't see the sunset in that location?
I think that probably you probably can still see the sunset, but you won't have the ticket for it.
Won't have the same experience.
Right.
That was the third question. The fourth question is, what does conceptual art, which you are performing, have to do with keeping the faith?
That's a question for Mr. Shoemaker, I think. Or well, maybe it has for me. No.
Reverend Mr. Shoemaker, what's your...
Well, for me, the reason I was intrigued by this project came because I think there is a problem with how modern people relate to nature. And I think the fact that we have global warming and people don't believe it and refuse to do anything about it is just one of the signs of that. The scientists, responsible scientists, all agree it's going to be a major problem, may affect the entire planet, and yet people don't pay attention to it. So it seemed to me that an artist enticing people to pay attention to the natural world is a very important ethical issue and a spiritual issue for me.
Thank you. Appreciate that answer and these answers. Have a good evening.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks. My husband had this wonderful quote about how art can be a meditation also. As I was running around one day freaking out, going, what am I doing art for? I don't even know why I'm doing art. Art is stupid. You know, forget it. I'm not going to graduate. And he said, well, you know how people meditate, and you know, perhaps I meditate. And I think that's good. I think it makes you a better person, etc. And he says, well, making art could also be a meditation. So perhaps that helps the caller understand what I'm doing here.
Your husband is an artist too?
I would say my husband is an artist.
What does he do? What kind of work?
His name is Rick Valentin, by the way. He made a piece in the year 2003, which I think is so amazing. He took a picture every hour. He had a little of whatever he was looking at. So he had a camera with him all the time. And it was a digital camera, and whenever it struck on the hour, he would take a picture of what he was doing, and he had a little vibrating watch that would vibrate silently to let him know when to take a picture. And during the times when he was asleep, he didn't take a picture then. And what he did for the entire year of 2003, I mean, this was a year that he graduated from, he went back to school after touring in a rock band for however many years we did that, 10 years.
Poster children.
Yes, mm-hmm. And went back to school and finished his computer science degree. We had a baby that year. We had our first baby, our sort of miracle baby, because we're kind of old and maybe we shouldn't be allowed to have a baby, but it happened. So this was the year that all this amazing stuff happened to him. And he has a picture every hour of this, and he's printed it out, and it's 40 feet long. And if you look at it, it's a lot of computer screens, because we're both computer programmers also. But it's just amazing to look at his life and to see this sort of this black sine wave that goes through it, which is the black spaces are the sleep times.
Now, when your baby was born, you had fewer of those black sleep hours, sure.
Yes, yeah. You could see that his sleep schedule is completely disturbed at this time.
So. Now, he was taking pictures every hour of what he was seeing at that hour. And what if it was something obscene?
My husband doesn't look at anything obscene. I know we're in a rock band. We're in a very strange rock band. The underground rock movement, the people that we've met people, rock bands all over the country. They're not what you would expect, I think. I think they're not what normal people would expect. They're very, very, we have nothing to do for 23 hours a day. You know, 1 hour we would play, we'd mm-hmm. stand on a stage and shout, but the rest of the time we'd be reading books and visiting museums and stuff. And it's. I think this experience has really made me. I guess into an artist.
How did your voice survive all the shouting?
3 days into the tour, usually you get a sore throat, but mm-hmm. after a while, you drink a lot of water. Mm-hmm. And you recuperate. You don't talk that much during the day, I suppose.
Has music ever been a part of your art?
Just so for the last 4 years, I've been working on art, and I've been doing all kinds of different things, like data streams into art, computer. It's all computer stuff because I'm a computer programmer. And just this last one, the Tickets to the Sunset, has finally sort of, I've finally been able to sort of mesh the two parts of my life together, the music, cause since it's Ticketmaster and it's like a tour, and the art. So this is the first time, I think, that it's been. Other than that, I'm a classically trained pianist, so perhaps that would be considered art.
Where did you study piano?
I've been playing piano since I was four.
Oh.
I learned how to read music before I could read words. Mm. But I finished when I got to college here. I stopped playing piano because it's weird. It's hard for me to get somebody to want to listen to a Beethoven pathétique or a Chopin etude. But it's really easy to get people to want to listen to two chords being played over and over again loudly with shouting in the background. And to me, they're both as viable right now.
Which do you listen to more now?
I guess I listen to classical music more, but that's for our baby's mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to listen to punk rock a little bit more. It's interesting because you're trying to build these pieces of artwork with very, very minimal building blocks, I mean, especially Poster Children, our music is really... we try to make very, very simple music, and we try to make it with a lot of feeling. So hence the shouting.
Since you're mentioning music, you asked me before the show began who plays the theme music for Keeping the Faith, and it's a jazz saxophonist named John Ellis. And interestingly, John is getting married this month out in West Virginia and asked me to come and help perform the ceremony. He and Pavani are getting married, and there'll be two services, a Christian service, and then she comes from a Hindu background, so there'll also be a Hindu service, which I'm not leading, but I'll be interested to be there as a participant. So John Ellis is the saxophonist who plays the theme music here on Keeping the Faith, a jazz player. Getting back to your art project, Tickets to the Sunset, I was reading a novel from the 20s by P.G. Wodehouse, one of the Jeeves humorous novels that P.G. Wodehouse wrote this week, and thinking about this program, and I came upon this statement from his book, The Code of the Woosters. And Bertie Wooster is this sort of young, vapid, wealthy man about town. And he has this manservant, Jeeves, who's the wise one in these books. But in this case, Bertie is reflecting about one of his friends. And I thought this was relevant to this discussion today. I saw what had happened, of course. He's referring to a woman who just made a comment. She was trying to give the boyfriend a build-up and was overdoing it. I've noticed the same thing in young wives when they're trying to kid you that Herbert or George or whatever the name may be has hidden depths which the vapid and irreflective observer might overlook. Women never know when to stop on these occasions. I remember Mrs. Bingo Little once telling me shortly after their marriage that Bingo said poetic things to her about sunsets. His best friends being perfectly well aware, of course, that the old egg never noticed a sunset in his life, and that if he did by a fluke ever happen to do so, the only thing he would say about it would be that it reminded him of a slice of roast beef cooked just right.
That sounds wonderful. I immediately feel like defending Mr. Bingo and saying I'm sure he's not vapid. I mean, I've learned through my 40 years that you know, you can look at people and think, oh, there's something wrong with this person, and this person is stupid, and this person is mean, but there's always something behind everybody's actions. You know, I have to believe that people are inherently good. That's what I believe.
In spite of all the evidence to the contrary.
Well, there's forces acting upon people that make them act different ways. I mean, there's, and I learned this in martial arts class. There's stimulus acting on people, and their past experience makes them act in certain ways.
So you don't think people ever choose evil?
And perhaps I haven't studied enough, but I think no. I mean, only in movies.
Now, it seems to me you're trying with this project, though, of getting people to pay attention to a sunset, to something beautiful in nature, that you're assuming that people don't do that typically, that they are, if maybe not choosing evil, they're at least choosing other things that aren't as good.
Oh, so I'm making a judgment on what people have chosen to look at. That is interesting. I don't think you're saying that, but I'm realizing that I've made a judgment here.
It seems to me that when you say you have to assume people are good, that maybe they're not always doing the best thing.
Well, I think inherently, in a Dungeons and Dragons sense, I think people are inherently lawful good. And I think that they just maybe they misunderstand what needs to happen in order to make them happy. I think there's a lot of people who feel like what's going to make them happy is getting as much money as possible, and they don't realize that, just as you said. I mean, there's global warming. There's all kinds of terrible things happening, but people are thinking, well, either there's going to be global warming or I'm going to be rich, and I want to be rich. You know, I can always turn the air conditioning on if I'm rich. So I think people are just they have misconceptions. I think it's bad information or lack of information that gets in the way. I think there is no evil in this sense. I think there's just lack of information.
Let's let listeners who may have a comment on this or other subjects to call in. The number, if you'd like to be a part of this conversation on good and evil and art, 333-9455 is the number in Champaign-Urbana. That's 333-WILL. Several local lines are available. Elsewhere, you may call us toll-free if it's a long-distance call, 1-800-222-9455. And let me repeat the number one more time for people who'd like to make a contribution to WILL. If you'd like to make a pledge, the number is 217-244-9455. So the key to remember is to make a pledge, 244-WILL, to be on the radio live with Rose Marshak, our guest today, 333-9455 or 1-800-222-9455. 9455. So we may have a difference of opinion about good and evil, but let's talk about your life a little bit. Where did you go to college?
I went here.
You're here. What did you study as an undergraduate?
Computer science.
And you say that both you and your husband are computer programmers. It's hard to make a living as an artist or as a musician.
But we did. For 10 years, we made a living as musicians.
You have.
And we were very, very careful.
Uh-huh.
When we were touring, we slept on people's floors.
Mm-hmm.
We were very frugal with our money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that hard to make a living in Champaign as a musician or an artist.
How many in the band?
Four people.
Four people and poster children. And how long did the same four stay together?
Well, three of us stayed together for a very long time because we're all related.
Who's the third?
Rick's brother, my husband's brother, my brother-in-law. Then there's a rotating drummer seat, so we've had many different drummers.
Drummers are like that.
Yeah, I agree.
And Rick Valentin, your husband, is also an artist, and you mentioned, does he have any pieces in this current show?
No, because he's not graduating yet.
Okay.
So perhaps he's not an artist yet. but no, he's the people who are in the program know that when he gets some time away from the baby, he's going to really, really make a lot of amazing art, and everybody respects him a lot.
Now, you've mentioned that you and your husband were in this traveling rock band called Poster Children for 10 years. You now have a baby. You now are both computer programmers and both in the same Master of Fine Arts program. When you both finish, what are your plans?
It's hard to take
a kid on the road.
My mom was, for the last 10 years, my mom was trying to get us to have a baby. You can have a baby. You can take it on tour. It's not a problem. Just have a baby. Come on. Just have a baby. And, it's no problem at all. It'll just sit in the van. Mm. It'll be fine. And I have seen other bands take kids on tour with them. But I don't think that's going to work because the big thing is you can't have the baby in the car for more than 2 hours. And these drives, these long drives that enabled me to see beautiful sunsets cannot happen, I think, with a child in the car. I think so. I don't know what we'll do. I don't know. That's a good question. We've never really had plans. This is why our band stayed together for so long, too, and we're still together. I've never really had any kind of, huge, lofty goals like, we're going to get signed to a major label. Mm-hmm. We did get signed to a major label, but we've never really had any really high goals that weren't met. It's kind of like we're just trying to exist and learn, I guess, and create.
Hmm. And so what are your hopes in terms of your art?
I hope I can make some more. I think the best thing that art can do, at least for me, is to inspire other people to make more art. Maybe inspire other people to look around them, inspire other people to wake up. But especially inspire more people to create.
Who are some of the people that have inspired you? Who are some of the artists?
Oh, man. I wrote some of them down. We had this wonderful class.
How did you know I was going to ask that?
No, I was. This is the scary question that if you ask it, then I need to know names. It's hard for me to remember names.
Sure.
We had this great class called Immateriality at U of I in the Narrative Media Department, where I am graduating from. But we learned all about conceptual art. It was really, really amazing. And I'm going to forget the names of people, I'll say one of my favoriteest artists is this guy named Siebren Versteeg.
How's that spelled?
Siebren Versteeg. And I think it's a kid. I think it's a young person from Chicago. But he had an exhibit in Bloomington at University Galleries, and the most amazing art piece I've ever seen is this thing where he made. It's a big screen. It looks like a Coke bottle. It's red, and it's got the Coke bottle lettering. Oop, sorry. But what it is, and it looks
artists
like it's...
Artists should move their hands.
I'm flailing my hands around wildly now, and you can't see it. But so the Coke bottle font is there, but it's really, it's a news feed. It's an AP news feed. So if you read this Coke bottle looking thing, it's telling you what's happening right now. And that's one piece by this guy. And then this other piece, so beautiful, amazing. You walk into this room and on the right side, you look to the right and you see a giant projection. It looks like a movie. And on the left, you see another giant projection. The right side is over a field of flowers. You see names appearing like it's like the beginning credits of a movie. It's like a movie is starting here with a field of flowers. And on the left side, you see ending credits, a black screen with the names scrolling up. And it's live feed. On the right side, the opening credits are people being born right then. Hmm. It's taken from hospitals. It's information taken from hospital feed. And you can guess on the left side, the names scrolling up are obituaries, people dying. Hmm. I thought that was beautiful. Hmm. And I get my inspiration from also really crazy things like punk rock. The ideas behind punk rock are a lot of you can do things yourself. You can take ideas into your own hands. You can wake people up. Situationists, if anybody knows who the Situationists were, they were sort of pranksters. They were really really into waking people up. The greatest Situationist prank I ever heard of. And actually, this wasn't, I think this came later after the Situationists, but it was called the Barbie Liberation Army. Have you ever heard of this prank?
No.
Okay. Hopefully I can get this in time. But parents, activist parents would go to the store and buy the talking Barbies and the talking G.I. Joes. And these back in the 80s, I think, or 70s, you would pull the string and the G.I. Joe would go, let's go to war, let's go to war. And the Barbies would be like, let's go shopping. I hate math. Stuff like that. Mm. So they would buy these and then they would send them to this central undisclosed location and they would swap out the talking chips out of the Barbies and the G.I. Joes and they would place them in each other. So the Barbies would say, let's go to war. And the G.I. Joes would go, I hate math. And then the part that gets me is they would return them to the stores. Mm-hmm. So other people, unknowing people would buy them. And that's pretty crazy and mean. But I think these dolls are worth a lot of money now if somebody gets a hold of one.
So it was a little bit mean, but you wouldn't say bad because people are basically good.
Well, this is to wake people up again too. Okay. And I wouldn't even.
And why do they need waking up? They're not perfect yet, maybe.
Because maybe they're uninformed. If you argue with me, you're going to win. I'm making this up as I go along.
Let's talk about some of your colleagues. You work in a department, and you mentioned this one course on immateriality that's in the narrative media department. What are some of the other current departments in art? In the field of art?
Well, there's photography. Mm-hmm. There's sculpture. I'm trying to think. There's painting.
But narrative media sounds like that's something fairly new.
It's very new, sure. Yeah. And when I thought, I was going into narrative media, I thought I was going to be making a lot of computer art. And then I got bored of computer art. Mm. But if you go to this MFA show at Cranard Art Museum, you'll see there's a lot, the painting people, the photography people, all of their work is starting to appear on screens now and computers. It's kind of interesting. Whereas I'm trying to leap off of the screen now. I'm trying to infiltrate the world.
Now, you mentioned your piece that's in Cranard that's 20 feet long. We've talked about your piece, Tickets to the Sunset, that consists basically of just small tickets. You've talked about your husband, Rick Valentin's piece that's 40 feet long. You've talked about Versteeg's piece that's huge. Is part of what's going on in this kind of art that it can't be sold, it can't be bought, it can't be displayed in someone's home? It's somehow outside of the whole commercial enterprise of art.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. We learned about that in Immateriality, too. There are people, there's an artist called Jen Danos, I think, who would make little installations that weren't in the museum, just outside. And then, of course, there's here I have a name written down, Andrew Goldsworthy, who would make these giant sculptures outside using nature.
Yeah, and wonderful things. Of course, he sold a book about them.
Oh, there's a bunch of them. That's true. Yeah. So you can look at them in your own time. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's interesting. I think that it's funny. Also, my mom, who doesn't go to a lot of art galleries at all, was here last night for the show, and she came in and she said, "Well, I like art that I can have in my house. Uh-huh. You know, I want to be able to hold it and have it and capture it."
But as part of the appeal of this type of art, that it's accessible to anybody. The poorest person can see a sunset. The poorest person can walk in a gallery and see this kind of thing in exhibit.
I think that's beautiful. But then also part of this art piece is that you can buy a ticket, too, and you can take that home. Okay. And so you have this artifact from the sunset that you've purchased. And I also have T-shirts and CDs and buttons, too, for the sunset. So it is kind of things that you can take home. That was a part of this project.
Okay. So the fact that you have a tickets2thesunset.com rather than, say, .org, where it would be free, but where people would buy things. I mean, you're not opposed to trying to make a little bit of a living from your art.
Yeah, I guess not. But in this case, yeah, if I do make any money off of this, I feel like I'm making money off of the sunset, and that's not a part of this at all. It's okay. It's very important that money does not go to me. Because what would I do with it? Buy a shirt or something? That's terrible.
Feed your child, I mean.
I think I should feed my child with other money.
Okay. All right.
That's important.
We're talking with Rose Marshak on Keeping the Faith today about her fine arts project for her master's degree at the University of Illinois called Tickets to the Sunset. We don't have time for any more callers, but let me thank those who have called before, and let me thank Rose for submitting herself to strange questions from a theologian on a work of art. This program, Keeping the Faith, is a local program that's produced by here at WILL, but it's made possible because of donations by listeners. If you appreciate this program and others like it on this station, do consider making a pledge. This is our annual spring pledge drive, and you may make a contribution by mail, a check to WILL, and mailed to 300 North Goodwin in Urbana, Illinois, 61801. Or you may call and make a pledge, 217-244-9455. That's 217-244-WILL. Contributions are very important. My wife and I contribute each year, and we're very pleased that we can be a part of the kind of programs that WILL provides, AM and FM and television. You're listening to Keeping the Faith, a weekly program that deals with issues of spirituality, ethics, values, religion, and today art. Coming up next week on Keeping the Faith will be Sarah Hyatt talking about the Christian Science Church today. Later in May, we'll be talking with Amy Sponsler, the new director of volunteer services at the University of Illinois. And Monsignor Stuart Swetland will be a guest in May talking about his experiences with the new Pope Benedict for the Roman Catholic Church. Thank you for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keeping the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from the Prairie Ensemble, which presents Haydn's The Creation and John Coriolano's Creations on Friday, May 6th at 7:30 p.m. at Wesley United Methodist Church in Urbana. Featured will be soprano Kay Welch, tenor Stephen Seek, bass baritone Chad Ballantyne, and the Bach Chorus. For more information, call 355-9077 or visit prairieensemble.org.
Monday through Friday at 3, join us for Odyssey from Chicago Public Radio. Monday at 3, whether it's to the Sierra Club or the local soup kitchen, Americans are known for high levels of charitable giving. Host Gretchen Helfrich and guests examine what drives Americans to give on Odyssey, Monday afternoon at 3, here on AM 580 WILL Urbana. A frost advisory is in effect from 2 a.m. to 8 a.m. Monday morning. Tonight in Champaign-Urbana, partly cloudy with areas of frost after midnight. The low in the lower 30s with west winds 10 to 20 miles per hour and gusty early, diminishing to around 10 miles per hour by midnight. Tomorrow, partly sunny with areas of frost early in the morning. The high in the mid-50s with west winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. It's 6 p.m. Central Time. This American Life is next.
It's This American Life, I'm Ira Glass, and it's a special pledge drive edition of our show.